If we do not think that is at all important, it should be borne in mind that partly because of this development, America later suffered a humiliating defeat in Vietnam. Because of this, we may not only have to revise completely all our 208 ideas about the nature of mind, but also our concept of just exactly what we mean by the word weapon. If people such as George Adamski have anything to teach us, it is not that the gods are good, bad, or indifferent, but that they can manifest at all, that they can run riot like a cellular virus, so their image is in minds that become malls, and vice versa. They show us also that we ourselves have power to create that sacred and utterly scandalous tomfoolery which is always at the heart of time, change, and product. Afterward. The spring of 1965 had been hectic for Adamski. Although his reputation in Europe was on the wane, in America at least, he was still very much in demand for public appearances and lectures right up to the time of his death. On the 17th of March, 1965, he lectured at the First Unitarian Church in America. On the 18th of March, Rock TV recorded an interview for the Tom Decker Sunday Night Show. While in Rochester, Adamski was the guest of no less than the vice president of the Eastman Kodak Company, who had taken a great interest in the Silver Spring film shot on the 26th of February. After yet more lectures and talks in Syracuse, Buffalo, Worcester, Lowell, and Rhode Island, an exhausted Adamski returned to the Rodfer House in Rochester. He told Madeline that he was having difficulty breathing. It is 7:30 in the morning on Thursday, the 22nd of April 1965 in Silver Spring, Maryland. An ambulance carrying Madeline Rodfer and the dying George Adamski leaves the Rodfer home on its way to the Washington Sanatorium, in nearby Tacoma Park, Maryland. With Madeline Rodfer's husband Nelson following behind in his car, the ambulance approaches a corner near the Rodfer home where a car is parked. The car flashes its headlights on and off several times. Madeline has a strange feeling about this vehicle. "I don't know if it was a space person," she said later, according to Timothy Good, "but it was like a sign." The result of an electrocardiogram test at the Washington Sanatorium was not good. At midday the next day, Adamski complained about pains in his chest. After further tests, the doctors urged him to stay in hospital, but he refused. Back in the Rodfer House again, his breathing became even more difficult. By 7 p.m. his condition had become so bad that drastic treatment was necessary, and Madeline took him on what was to be his last journey. Adamski died sometime between 9:30 and 10 p.m. on the 23rd of April 1965. Dr. Belden Reap, the deputy medical examiner for Montgomery County, confirmed the death as a heart attack. In a private service conducted by Chaplain Captain David F. Date, and attended by Alice Wells, Adamski's ashes were interred at Arlington National Cemetery, Virginia. It wasn't exactly the end he wished for. He told Madeline that he would never admit himself to a hospital if he could help it, because at the very end of his life he was mortally afraid of being at the mercy of conspirators. Alice Wells said he wanted his ashes cast to the wind, but that was illegal. "We can rest assured, however, that he would have been proud that his last resting place was the great military shrine of his nation." But in death, as in life, nothing about Adamski was certain. As a final act of defiance against the rules, he had the cheek to come back from the dead. To come back from the dead is the final ultimate achievement of the true hero. Adamski died on 23rd of April 1965. The day after that, Arthur Bryant, a groundsman at an old people's home in Britain, claimed that he had seen a saucer land. One of the three humanoid occupants had told him that his name was Yamski, adding that with George, anything could happen and usually does. The occupant then spoke to Bryant of a deonx. Eileen Buckle, in her 1967 book The Scoriton Mystery Common 9, includes a clear full plate photograph of Arthur Bryant. It is strange indeed that she does not comment, and neither do other investigators, on the craggy features of Devonshire countryman, Arthur Bryant. "It's enough to raise the hairs on the back of your neck. It looks like none other than George Adamski. Index at the end not included here. The end.